All right, so we've been in this series, Incognito, talking about unnamed heroes of the Bible, right? People that you don't really often hear a lot about. The story that I'm going to be talking about today is one that I think, if you've been in church any amount of time, then I think you might have probably heard this kind of story before. But it's about this guy that doesn't have a name. But today I named my message, "What Are the Odds?" So the odds of winning the Powerball lottery is actually 1 in 292.2 million, right? Not very likely. Save your money. The odds of dying in a plane crash is 1 in 11 million. The odds of being a victim of identity theft, at least here in America, it's 1 in 3. Yeah, apparently in a lifetime, 1 out of 3 Americans is a victim of identity theft. The odds of creating the perfect NBA playoff bracket, roughly 1 in 35 trillion. It's kind of the same odds as the Kings winning that bracket, right? I'm not a basketball fan, but I know some people are, so I just wanted to mess with it. Anyway, I'll move on. The odds of being struck and killed by a falling coconut, 1 in 667,000. Yeah, I know. Coconuts kill more people than sharks, so. The odds of being both left-handed and a natural redhead, 1 in 700. The odds of seeing a pigeon do a backflip, 1 in 500,000. So, I didn't even know they did backflips, but they do. So statistically, right, if you've seen like 499,000 pigeons, you're close. Like, you'll have your moment. The odds of a sneeze coinciding with a power outage, 1 in 2 million. The odds of getting a perfect score on a 20-question, 4-choice, multiple-choice test by just choosing answers randomly is 1 in 1 trillion. Odds go up exponentially. If you only add 5 questions, only 5 more, the odds go up to 1 in 100 quadrillion. Wow. Yeah. It's not a good idea to just randomly guess. So the odds of discovering your blind date is actually a distant cousin, 1 in 200. So good thing we're in California. I think the odds are a lot higher in like Arkansas or something like that. But the odds of Pastor Scott eating cilantro is the same odds as me eating olives. It's not going to happen. And the odds of being ungrateful, according to the story that we're going to look at today, the odds are 9 out of 10. Most people don't consider themselves ungrateful, right? I mean, if you looked at yourself and someone's like, "Are you grateful?" Yeah, of course. But the difference between being grateful and ungrateful, I think it's a lot more than just 2 letters. Yeah. It's the difference between pleasing God and grieving him. The difference between rejoicing and complaining, between being content, being restless, being appreciative of the blessings that he's given us, or taking them for granted. Here, our story is going to be out of Luke chapter 17, but we find this story of a miracle that happens with a powerful lesson to be learned from a guy whose name is never even mentioned. So starting in verse 11, it says, "On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance." Now here I kind of want to remind us that they weren't standing at a distance because they wanted to, or they just kind of didn't want to get close or whatever, but they had to. According to the law, lepers were considered unclean, right? They had to be removed from society. They were outcasts. They were only allowed to be around other lepers. They had, by law, to stay 12 cubits, which is about 16 feet away from everyone else. They couldn't get close. And in this case, there were 9 Jews and a Samaritan together. Now, if you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans at that time, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They normally did not hang out. They weren't buddies and, you know, hanging out with one another. The Jews hated them, but in this case, they were all equal. They were all lepers. They were outcasts, they were shunned, they were alone. And I think there's a powerful principle here, and it's that shared suffering stops prejudice. When you realize that you have the same problems going on, it doesn't matter if you're white or black or Asian, Hispanic, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is, it doesn't matter, right? You're just fellow strugglers. So in this story, these guys, they didn't just see themselves as Jews or Samaritans, they were lepers. Leprosy, it couldn't be hidden. It wasn't like, oh, just wear long sleeves and cover it up. It was this horrible, gross, disfiguring disease that would eat away at your flesh. And actually in advanced stages, fingers and toes could literally fall off the body. So somehow these guys found out that Jesus was on the way. And when the 10 lepers saw Jesus, they knew that this was kind of their moment. This was their opportunity, right? And they've heard about his healing power. So they said, they stood at a distance, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, it's kind of funny, Jesus' response here, right? It doesn't really sound like pity or compassion to me. He's just like, "Go show yourself to the priest." It sounds kind of like dismissive. But the lepers instantly knew what he meant. The priest at the time was the only one who could declare a leper had been cleansed. And that would then allow them to reenter society. All other diseases could be cured or whatever, and it didn't need this. But leprosy was kind of unique in that it needed to be cleansed. They had them outcast because they were afraid of it being contagious and stuff like that. But lepers, they didn't expect to be sent on a walk. I think they probably were asking for this, and they wanted that kind of instant healing. I think that's what we all want a lot of times. But Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And they take off walking, and as they went, they were cleansed. Right here, it took action. It took obedience on behalf of the lepers to receive their miracle, right? The Bible doesn't say that they were cleansed and then they went. They were cleansed as they went, as they were going. They had to trust, they had to obey, and they had to take action before they could receive their miracle. They couldn't just wait for it to happen. They had to do something, right? This is kind of one of the stories where the Bible leaves out a lot of the detail. It leaves out a lot of like the emotion that you sometimes get in them. So we kind of have to use our imagination. But I mean, think about it. If you were one of these lepers and, you know, maybe it's only been a few years, maybe some of them it's been decades, right? But you've not seen your family, you've not seen your friends, you've not been in any social groups or whatever. You live in these little whatever tents, or I don't know what it was, whatever they had for them. But you're on the outskirts of town. You're alone, right? But so as they start walking down that dusty road, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, it's kind of, I think life for the most part would be kind of a drag. But suddenly you start feeling something you never felt before, right? They look down and maybe a new piece of skin, like a baby skin, started growing on their arm, right? Like fresh skin started coming up. Maybe if they lost fingers and toes, they started popping out. I don't know how it was, but as they began walking, they were healed by the power of God. God cleansed their leprosy. I don't know about you, but I would be pretty excited. I think these lepers were filled with excitement as they watched this leprosy disappear. Right? As each step that they took, maybe they started dancing or leaping or shouting. Instead of that weary, you know, solemn walk down the road, maybe they started skipping or whatever. They were out of control with excitement because this was a clean new start. Joy was in their heart, right? They had this, they would no longer be outcast. They would no longer be alone. They could see their families. They could return to society. They returned to their life. These 10 lepers, they believed what Jesus said, and they obeyed what he commanded. And when they began walking toward the priest, God healed them of their leprosy. Yeah. But the story obviously doesn't end there, right? It goes on, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Here's the thing. All 10 were healed, but only one turns back to thank Jesus for his healing. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm going to reference that scripture several times. I was challenged with it, and I think that it's a good reminder for all of us. God's will becomes complete when we give him thanks for what he's done. I think as Christians, a lot of times, we put emphasis on obedience and belief in God, but we don't really put as much on gratitude. God commands you to be thankful. But in turn, I think a lot of times we're like, well, you know, God, I would say thank you, but right now I'm kind of going through a thing, right? Right now I have a lot in my life going on. Stephanie and I don't even know where she is. There you are. Hey. This year we're going to be married 10 years. Woo! I know. Big number, right? But no, in our marriage, we have faced a lot of trials and like hard times, more than some and less than probably a lot of others. But it seems like every time we start making some progress or like, oh, we got a little money saved up, we can put it in savings. And then suddenly life pushes you back down, right? Maybe you get a bonus at work, you get extra hours, whatever it is, but then your car breaks down or the kids get sick or the house needs repairs. Or you look at your life and you're like, oh, well, we have a house, but it's too small. We have a car, but I mean, have you seen the gas prices? Like, no matter what's going on, it's easy to complain. Stephanie and I, we've made the intentional decision not to let our circumstances, not to let the situations in life deter us from being thankful. Right, we focus on the goodness of God. We refuse to let it affect our attitude. God is faithful, so we are grateful. Amen. This leper, he took extra steps to return and to thank Jesus, and his attitude of gratitude, as my mom always says, she says, have an attitude of gratitude. I don't think she didn't originate it, but that's where I first heard it. But anyway, this attitude of gratitude separated him from the rest of the group. And honestly, I don't know if I can really blame the other nine, right? They were excited about this healing, and they weren't going to let anything stop it. This was like their moment, right? They've been separated from society, family for years, persecution, ridicule. People didn't want anything to do with them. Nothing was going to stop them from getting to the priest and getting their healing, being pronounced clean. But of the nine, I think one of them at least noticed that this one guy turned around to go back, and they didn't allow it to slow them down. They just kept going. So the one healed leper, he turns back on his own. And I kind of noticed this, that thankfulness always requires extra steps and extra time. A lot of times it's easier not to say thank you, right? Maybe you're having a conversation at the restaurant and the waiter brings you food. It's easy just to ignore it, right? Oh, that's what they have to do. It's easier not to say thank you. It's easier not to write a thank you note. It's easier not to take the extra steps to express gratitude. But sadly, it's also easy to take God's blessings and the people and the leaders that he's put in your life for granted. This leper, he threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Here, Jesus knew that all 10 lepers were healed. Yeah. He wasn't asking a question like, oh, did it not work? Like, I thought it was going to work for sure. He wasn't curious. He was asking to illustrate a principle, underline an attitude that he had healed the 10 lepers and that two groups were formed, right? There was an ungrateful group that had 9 members in it. And they got their healing and they were never heard from again. But this other group of grateful people, the grateful person, was one. Here's the thing. When you receive a blessing or something from God, actually, for that matter, from people, too, you can either be grateful or ungrateful. So what's the difference? We're kind of going to look at, I'll just point out a couple different things. But ungrateful people, they see the bad in every good situation. They're negative. right? I can spot the bad thing right away, right? And a lot of times they'll even bring it to the attention of other people, or they'll be like, oh no, this negative critical spirit, it's a gift that I have, right? A stack of 100 things, boom, that's the bad one. No, but they'll detect it in a matter of seconds. Negativity is kind of one of the primary marks of being ungrateful. There was this dad who asked his son, he said, hey, can you pray over dinner? And then the son goes, well, it won't do any good. The dad said, why not? He goes, because we're having broccoli. So some people only see the broccoli and they don't see the rest of the meal. On the other hand, grateful people, they see the good in every bad situation, right? They still see the broccoli, but they know it's good for you. Maybe they don't like the taste, but they see food they didn't have to pay for, food that they didn't have to prepare. They see the good in every bad situation. Ungrateful people complain about how bad they have it, especially comparing to others. You'd be surprised how often we've heard, or maybe you wouldn't, but some people say, you know, oh man, I don't understand why so-and-so is getting blessed and I'm not, right? I don't understand why they got a check in the mail or they got a big tax return and I owe $1,000 or something. You know, I don't understand why I have to struggle so much while they're blessed. Why does everyone else find someone and I'm still alone? Here's an idea. How about comparing down rather than up? How about looking at the homeless people or a family who's lost everything or kids living on the streets in Calcutta? Like, if you compare down and you look at those that are less than, not that they're less than you, but they have less than you, why don't we compare with that? Why don't we look at how blessed we are instead of what I don't have? Grateful people understand how good they have it, especially compared to others. God has blessed you. The reality is, like it or not, we are blessed to live in America, right? We have it better than almost anywhere else in the world. Be grateful. Realize how good you have it. You know, I was looking it up, and do you realize the poorest people in the U.S., bottom 10%, have it better than approximately 84% of the rest of the world? The poorest of the poor in the U.S. is richer than most people in the rest of the world. Ungrateful people think they deserve more than what they get. They're kind of like that spoiled kid at Christmas, you know, who opens this mountain of gifts, hundreds of dollars worth of stuff, you know, and maybe they play with it for a couple minutes, but then they're like, they want to go to the store and get what they didn't get, right? They're focused on what they don't have, and instead of concentrating on all that they got, they're focused on what they didn't, they wanted. How many of you guys have ever gotten a gift for a kid that shows little to no appreciation? I have I feel like things are coming to people's mind. I have two videos that kind of illustrate this little. So I'm just going to leave it.
All right, one more, Levi.
Wow. Where's the good stuff? There it is.
Throw away the nice shoes and shirt and
good. We did.
All right, and go ahead and fire the other video. So that's one example.
I went and spent an hour in the store getting you a phone.
You shouldn't have done it.
Wait, Ellis, are you mad about getting an iPhone?
It's a 3.
How mad are you?
So this video is like, you can go ahead and end it.
Wait.
I don't know if it keeps going, but those are two videos of a little bit of ungratitude, but the first video is our son, Levi. It was his second birthday. But the thing is, it's kind of funny and cute, right? It's not really that he's being ungrateful. He just wants to get the good stuff. The other video, she's old enough to realize it's not that cute, right? A lot of times you kind of look at it, you're like, man, how dare that ungrateful, self-centered, spoiled little brat be so rude and unappreciative after I sacrificed, after I did all this to try and give them something? I wonder if God sometimes feels that way about your attitude, about my attitude. Ungrateful people, we think we deserve more rather than thanking God for what he's given us. You complain, man, I don't have enough. I should have more money. I should have a nicer home. I should have newer clothes. I should be as rich as JR in the back. I don't know. No. I just picked a random. No, but you compare with other people. Grateful people, I kind of need to skip through. There you go. Grateful people realize they don't deserve what they have. God, the creator of the universe, sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins. You didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it, but he did it anyway. God blesses me with these material blessings, and all he asks in return is that I give him 10%. I still get to keep 90%. I don't deserve that much, but he gives it to me anyway. The reality is we don't deserve anything, but God still continues to bless us. Ungrateful people think that they qualify for more because of their goodness. Right? They're self-centered. They believe they deserve more attention, more money, more stuff, more blessings because of how good they are. But grateful people know that everything they have is because of God's goodness. They give credit to God for everything. Everything I have comes from him and belongs to him. So here in the story, when that lone leper returns, he glorifies God. It says with a loud voice. He says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And the thing is, no one has to wonder, is he really being thankful or is he just being polite? Like, there's no question. His loud voice answers all doubt. Yeah. Have you ever been in worship and wonder, you know, why someone is worshiping big and loud? They're dancing, they're shouting. Maybe they're singing really loud, and even if it's off key. The thing is, maybe they're being thankful because God saved them. They know that God healed them. He set them free. He gave them a purpose. The more thankful you are for what he's done, the louder and the more excited you should be to thank him. Jesus didn't heal the lepers and then remind them to thank him, right? God doesn't do that. Jesus didn't do what your mom does, right? Now, Timothy, what do you say to the nice man? Oh, thanks for healing my leprosy. They didn't do that. It was genuine, right? True thankfulness comes from within. It rises from your soul. It doesn't have to be forced out. God doesn't make you be grateful. Grateful people don't have to be reminded to be grateful, to give thanks. This Samaritan leper, he looked at that new flesh, maybe new fingers or toes, and his first reaction was to run back to the feet of Jesus and fall on his face and say, thank you. He cried out in a loud voice, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. Jesus did the same miracle for all 10 people, right? All 10 lepers, their lives were forever changed because of this healing. They were made whole. They could go home, see their family, return to society. Never again would people walk away when they approached. They had this new lease on life. But I think something we don't always see is that Jesus is grieved that 9 out of 10 didn't even say thanks. God doesn't force you to thank him, but he still wants and he expects and hopes that you would. God is grieved and disappointed when he blesses you and you react without and you neglect to thank him. Right? Or even worse, you take credit for his blessing. This story kind of wraps up here in verse 19. It says, then he said to the grateful leper, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You know, I was thinking about this story. If it were a movie, I think here's what would have happened next, right? The 9 lepers, as they just kind of continued on their way, they're opening the temple door, and then all of a sudden, the leprosy returns, their fingers and toes fall off. and they're cursed forever, right? The grateful guy is healed. The 10 lepers are doomed. They have leprosy, no fingers. But that's not what happens, right? Jesus, although he's disappointed in their reaction, he doesn't do anything. God is so good that he's still kind to the ungrateful. You can find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. It says, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is kind even to the ungrateful. But note that God does reserve blessings, his blessings, for those that are grateful. There's this principle that gifts are more attracted to gratitude. I think all of us can kind of attest to the fact that you're more likely to want to give to someone that expresses thanks, right? It's more fun to give when someone says thank you and they're appreciative. I don't know if you've ever gone to a kid's birthday party and they're opening gifts and they're all excited and smiling, and then they open your gift and they kind of just get this straight face and like, I already have one of those, right? And then they just go on to the next gift. I think a lot of times, I know sometimes I'm like, well, I'll take it back and return it to the store. Like, you don't deserve that. You still give the gift, though, because it's the right thing to do. But the gratitude, the joy is taken out of giving. It's more fun to give to people that are grateful. Some people are also takers, right? They think they deserve it. They think that you owe them. So maybe when you're giving them a gift, they get it once, but they're not going to get anything again, right? If I'm going to give to someone, I'm going to give to a person that's grateful. God enjoys giving gifts to his children, but he enjoys it even more when we are thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Being grateful is the will of God. If you're wondering, man, how can I get more in the will of God? Start with this. Start by being more grateful. Start by giving gratitude. There's this principle I heard taught years ago, and I think Pastor Scott taught on it not too long ago. But it's called the receiving progression. So there's three steps. First is blessing. You start off with blessing, right? Maybe say the first time you receive something, you see it as a blessing. Like you didn't expect it. Maybe at work, it's your first Christmas and you get a $100 bonus, right? Man, that's exciting. I didn't think I was going to get anything, right? You're thrilled. You run up and say thank you. Maybe you write a thank you note. You're pumped. It's exciting. But after that can come expectation. Say it's been 3 years in a row, right? Now you kind of just expect $100 for Christmas, right? It's no longer really seen as a blessing. It's kind of just something you get every year. You still say thanks, sure, but it's not really a big deal. It moves from blessing to expectation, and then it can easily become entitlement. After some time, maybe you forget that bonus was even optional. Say it goes up 5% a year, but suddenly 1 year it doesn't, or maybe the company had a hard year and it goes down, right? Man, you feel ripped off. Or you don't even bother saying thanks because, I mean, I honestly should get more than a measly $100. The more you think you're entitled to, the less you'll be grateful for. The bigger the sense of entitlement, the smaller the sense of gratitude. God commands you to be grateful, to not see his blessings as an entitlement, to not take it for granted or think you deserve his gifts, because once you do, you're no longer thankful. Now, my kids have the unfortunate opportunity that I had growing up where they are pastor's kids. So if the pastor's telling a story, it's going to be about them. So, yep. So our son Levi, he's probably one of the funniest kids that I know. He just says, and it's not even on purpose, it's just random things that'll come out of his mouth. It's like, what in the world? We're laughing. But no, he's a very smart and for the most part a really great kid. But this thing called gratitude is an area that lately he's been struggling with. Right, Stephanie? Yeah. You know, often we'll end the day and we'll be talking with them, kind of getting them to focus on like good things, God's blessings in our life. And it's like, hey, what was your favorite part of the day? And then Abby will often like say eight things. And it's like, this was all my favorite. But Levi lately has developed this sassy attitude where if he doesn't get every single thing that he wants that day, and honestly, probably even if he did get everything, he would still do this. But he just folds his arm. He goes, it's probably the worstest day ever. He's like, I didn't like none of it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you didn't like anything. Nothing. He's like, nope, worstest day. He did that just last week. And it was my day off. And we had spent the morning. We had pancakes. And then at lunch, we had chicken nuggets. I know, super healthy, right? But then Abby had a school thing, but then while we were going there, man, I forget what it's called, 7-Eleven Slurpees. Yeah, so we got them a little Slurpee as a treat, and they watched a movie, and then we went and got them some clothes, and we bought a little telescope, and they were all excited about seeing the moon and stuff like that. So it was like a pretty good day, but when we were at one of the stores, there was this little 99-cent piece of trash car, like, it would break the minute it got home. But Levi wanted that so, so much. And we're like, you have like 30 cars at home you don't even touch. We're not buying you this piece of junk. But that ruined his day. He was upset. It was probably the worstest. But that evening when we were talking, we kind of were talking and reminding him of all of the good things that we did. Right, reminding him of all the blessings that we had that day. So I think we counted like 20 different things, and there was one bad thing. And, you know, after being reminded, he's jumping up and down. He's like, never mind, it's the bestest. But that bad attitude kind of takes a lot of the joy out of giving. I want to give good things to my kids. And as a parent, I honestly think you should, right? But when they think we owe them because they cleaned up a part of the mess, this huge mess they made, they're like, you owe me a treat. I don't want to give it to them, right? Man, I'm not giving you a reward. But when they show appreciation, they don't think we owe them anything. They're not expecting anything. It is a blessing and a joy to give them stuff. My point is, be grateful. Give thanks to God for everything that he's done. I think like a lot of you, I think sometimes I take for granted God's blessings, especially when things are going wrong. Every once in a while, and probably not as much as I should, but I try to just spend a prayer time just saying thank you. You know, not asking for anything. God, I thank you. Thanking him for our house, thanking him for a wife that loves and tolerates me, for my amazing kids, thanking him for this church that I'm blessed to serve at. You know, I thank him for just everything that he's done in my life, and I just try to spend a couple minutes doing that. Gratitude reminds you how blessed you are and how big and how wonderful God is. Saying thank you helps you focus on the blessings instead of on the challenges. And I don't ever want to be the object of Jesus' question. I don't ever want him to say, man, where's Timothy? Where's the other nine? Where's the ones that I've healed, the ones that I've blessed? Why didn't they come say thank you? Don't forget this verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you're grateful, when you say thank you, you're following God's will for your life. But as I'm going to wrap up this message, if you have your notes, it's on the other side. It's a little bit of a challenge or action steps for this week. But the first thing is, this week, I want to challenge you for at least one day just to change up your routine about your time with God. If you don't currently have a time with God, add it for a day, right? But here's the thing. Spend the whole time, whether it's 5 minutes, an hour, whatever, thanking him for what he's done for you. Express your thanks to God. And you might be thinking, well, you know, what am I going to thank him for? Right? What am I? Just get started. And I think once you get going, you'll kind of start realizing that there's a lot that you can thank him for. And when you run out of things, if it's only been a couple minutes, that's fine. You're done, right? You said thank you. Number two, express your thanks to others. Here's another thing. I want to challenge you guys to write 3 thank you notes or texts or emails or whatever it is, but just to someone that you appreciate, someone who's done something for you. Be openly grateful without the expectation of getting something back. Practice gratitude. And then number 3, and I think this is kind of the hard one, is examine your attitude. Are there areas or things or people that you've kind of started just viewing as an entitlement, not a blessing? If there are, ask God to forgive you for that ugly attitude of entitlement and to help you follow his will by being grateful. So, to help you guys put that in action, I'm going to do something. I kind of want everyone to stand up. Bow your heads with me, and we're just going to take 90 seconds and just say thank you. I'm going to do it out loud, and I want to encourage you to do it out loud, and I'm going to do it in my normal tone of voice, but you can, you know, whisper or say it louder if you want, whatever. But for 90 seconds, all we're going to do is take some time and thank him. You ready? God, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you have given me. Lord, I thank you for my wife that loves me, God. And God, I thank you for Abby and Levi and Judah. Lord, I thank you for just the joy that they bring to my life. God, I thank you for the home that you've provided us. Lord, I thank you for reliable cars that we can drive, Lord, that I have one for work, Lord, that gets good gas mileage. I thank you for a safe and reliable transportation for my family, God, so things can get done. Lord, I thank you for air conditioning, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as summer's coming up, Lord, that you can provide a way to keep us cool. Lord, I thank you, God, for friends that you've provided, Lord, people that you've put in our lives, God, that are such a blessing. God, I thank you for the food that you've given, God, that we get to eat, that you've provided, Lord, a job that I get to work at, Lord, that I'm thankful for, God, this time that my wife is able to stay home and raise our kids. I'm thankful that they're not being raised by someone else, Lord, but that even though things are tight, Lord, I'm thankful that you provide. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord, and that we can gather and worship you. I thank you for the freedom to lift you up, God, to exalt you, to lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. That's it. That was 90 seconds. That was fast, right? I think there's just something about being thankful that takes your eyes off of your problems and puts your eyes on our Savior, right? So Christina is going to sing this song, and I just want to enter in and turn your eyes upon Jesus, right?
Strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Learning to be grateful. Listen, we want to take just a little bit. You know, this story was the lepers coming forward wanting to be healed. And I believe that there's some. So if we have some of our prayer team, I know we got a few people out, but James and Robin and Bob and Marilyn, and we want to take a little bit of time and just pray. And just as they came and they just said, mercy, have mercy on us, Jesus. How many of you know some of you guys are going through a healing? You need a healing in your body. There's something going on, and I would just encourage you to come up as a music plan, and we want to pray for you. And how many of you know God is a healer? How many of you know he still heals today? Aren't you glad that we still believe that, right? I want to tell you, some people believe, some churches don't believe that God still heals supernaturally. Just so you know, in case you're wondering what kind of church this is, we know God still heals supernaturally. How many of you have ever been healed supernaturally? Raise your hand. Look at the hands that are up. It still happens. It's not like, oh, you know what? I believe God's going to heal my headache and I'll take aspirin and 30 minutes later it's gone. No, God still heals supernaturally. So we're just going to take a few minutes. If you guys can just kind of hang out here for a second. If somebody's up here getting prayer, can you just kind of reach out a hand and just to come into agreement? Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody else, feel free to come up. We're gonna be here for a couple minutes. This is an important thing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being healer. Lord, as we're talking about gratitude and, Lord, learning to shift our mind, Lord, this world causes us to want to complain, Lord, because there's so much to complain about. But, Lord God, help us to shift that and to have the mind of Christ. And, Lord God, learn to be thankful and gratitude. So, Lord, I thank you for that you didn't just provide salvation on that cross, but, Lord, you also provided healing. And so, Lord, we just lift these people up, Lord God, that are coming up. Lord God, we're declaring healing over their bodies, over their minds. Listen, maybe you're here and you've just been tormented. Maybe you've had anxiety. Maybe you've had depression going on. How many of you know God can heal your depression today? Amen? God can heal that thing that's going on. Yes, sometimes it's chemical, sometimes it's circumstances, but God can correct that in your mind today. So, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you that you are healer. Thank you, Lord God, that you can make lame men walk. Lord God, you can heal lepers and cause body parts to reappear, Lord. As crazy as that is, that's how powerful you are. Lord, you healed the ear on the one that Peter cut it off in the garden, Lord God. So you can reattach things, Lord. It, as crazy it is, Lord God, you created the universe. Lord, there's surely nothing you can't do. So, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you. We're just going to take a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.